This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Last week marked the anniversary of David Armstrong's first year as president of Thomas More College. One of his primary missions is to position the liberal arts college to take the most advantage of changes coming to higher education. In his first year, several initiatives have already been put in place, including a new athletic training major, a requirement for all students to complete an internship or co-op before graduation, adding online programs, even the formation of a marching band. And President Armstrong joins us to look at his first year in office and his future plans for Thomas More. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And David, it's good to see you again.
It's great to see you, Mark. It's so special to be here at 91.7 and be able to talk about our one-year anniversary here at Thomas More College.
Yeah, I think last time we talked, you and your family had just moved to Northern Kentucky from Cleveland, and some exciting things are happening for your old hometown. The Republican National Convention is going to be held there. Johnny Manziel got drafted by the Browns. The Cavs might get LeBron James back. Have you had a lot of time to get homesick or miss Cleveland?
You know, as I said in my inauguration, I have two true Norths now in my life, Northeastern Ohio and Northern Kentucky. I really fell in love with Northern Kentucky, and that's why we're here and really enjoy it. I do make it back every once in a while for some family functions, and I am still a Brown season ticket holder, and I decided to re-up after they drafted Johnny Football. So it'd be nice to see some of those exciting times. But what I tell people when I go back home is, all the exciting things that are happening here in greater Cincinnati, pretty special. And it's amazing to me that the Bengals fans don't appreciate more that they've been in the playoffs for the last 3 years, because we in Cleveland would kill for something
like
that.
Yes, as a Browns fan, you would, wouldn't you?
But as far as LeBron James goes, we're like the little kitten with the yarn ball. They keep on teasing us, and we'll see what happens. But I will say this, I do miss him in a Cavs uniform. He was fun to watch.
Well, I take it this first year has been very busy for you.
It really has. At one point, we sat down when we had our General Assembly meeting on May 12th to talk to our faculty and staff and have a nice picnic and a softball game to end the academic year. We figured out that in the 305 days that I was president, that I attended at least 310 functions. And, and that includes weekends and weeknights and everything. And so it's been a great year. I've been invited to so many different things, been able to meet so many different people. Obviously, the highlights are, the inauguration, my first inauguration, first convocation when school started, then the inauguration, and then graduation, the culmination of the year in graduation. And, our faculty and staff have done, and alumni and board have done so much to advance the institution this year. I'm just so grateful for their efforts. And although change sometimes brings some consternation and things like that, we've had a wonderful year, and it's really putting us in position, I think, to be a leader in higher education in the next several years.
David, what do you think has been your biggest accomplishment in this first year?
What I hope to do is to bring as many reality checks to what we have to do as a smaller faith-based, values-based institution so that we are viable for our next 100 years, because we're approaching our 100-year anniversary. And so I think that that's what I feel I've done this year, is bring the reality of what's going on in the higher ed to our campus again. So as we go through our new strategic planning process, okay, with the whole community, to understand where we're going, it always starts with the mission as the Catholic College of the Diocese of Covington, and providing an excellent values-based education grounded in the liberal arts. And so, as we move forward in our strategic plan, putting us in the position, again, not only to survive, but to thrive in the next 100 years.
Now, a priest or a nun has been president of the college for, 18 of the past 21 years, I believe it is? And
correct.
You're the first layman to come along in quite some time. Has that been a challenge for you in running a Catholic college?
Well, my predecessor, Sister Margaret Stallmeyer, was excellent president, did such a wonderful job. But, we're very different people. She was a nun, I'm not, female, male. And so that has been a change for some people. And, but again, her heart and what she did to, really stabilize Thomas More and to grow Thomas More and to move it up the rankings in U.S. News and World Report has given us a great base from which we now can move to make sure that we handle all the changes in higher ed. Again, we know who we are. We're a Catholic college, and that's never going to change. And we're proud of that, and we take great solace in that. And as a matter of fact, we feel that is an advantage to us when we go out there and recruit students and families to attend Thomas More College.
Now, how many students are attending Thomas More right now?
We started last fall at around 850 traditional students, which is what you usually build your budget on. Our head count with master's and part-time and adult enrollment was 1,600. And we had about 370 students living on campus in the fall. And those are numbers we want to grow. We don't want to lose our identity as a smaller institution, but we do need to grow to create more revenue streams to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do to support the programs that we have.
I thought this was really interesting that Thomas More has added online programs. What are those programs?
Yes, our faculty are really doing a great job moving a lot of our programs to online. And so what we're going to do is we're going to offer face-to-face, a hybrid, and online courses so that students who want to get a Thomas More College education will have different delivery modalities from which to choose from so that we are doing our best to accommodate the students that want to attend Thomas More College. And so we're moving our MBA online. That's our first project online. And then we want to move our other adult programs online in the future.
Well, how important is it for a traditional brick and mortar liberal arts school to be involved in online learning?
That's a great question. The face-to-face bricks and mortar education is a very, very expensive education. Here's what a lot of people in the business community don't understand is that higher education has extremely high fixed costs because the high fixed costs are all tied into labor, faculty and staff and those things. And so those are fixed costs. And so you have to create other revenue streams. With online, there's a lot less overhead. There's no building. Okay. No heat. Okay. And so with the online, you can actually reach more students, with more programs and hopefully create more revenue streams to not only take care of the online and the adult programs, but also supplement the revenues for the bricks and mortar face-to-face education and the character formation education that we all know and love.
I'm talking with David Armstrong, president of Thomas More College, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And David, at one time, a degree in liberal arts was considered not the best avenue for getting a job, but that's changed over the last decade, hasn't it?
Actually, it has not changed. The liberal arts degree has always statistically come out as one of the strongest forms of education, especially for what employers want. Just recently, ACCU did a major study, top 500 employers, what they want out of graduates. And it clearly came down to this. It's not a particular major or program that employers want. They want graduates who can think critically, solve complex problems, and here's the most important point, make ethical judgments with integrity. And so when we talk about a values-based Catholic education, that's what we are doing. We are equipping students to engage the world with integrity for their whole life through the Catholic intellectual tradition, values-based education, character formation. And so not only will they have the ABCs and the reading and the writing and all those things, but also from an ethical standpoint, a moral judgment standpoint, hopefully to make the right choices. And that's what employers are looking for. And so, it's right up in the alley of the liberal arts school. Students have a more comprehensive education and thereby can handle crossing different areas, academic areas, content areas, and we all know how fast this world's changing, and that liberal arts education, in my opinion, and statistics would prove us out, is the best education to get to be able to handle the future.
And so in the 21st century, a liberal arts education is still very relevant.
So relevant. So relevant.
Do colleges and universities need to do a better job of balancing the need for career training with the value of that liberal arts education?
Yes, it's not only to earn a living, it's to live a life. And so a liberal arts degree where people understand the importance of government and democracy and values and ethics, that's what a liberal and art and history, so that we know where we've been, so we know where to go. All these things are components of a liberal arts education. It makes for an educated populace. And so that's what we want is a population that is educated and can make quality decisions. And small private liberal arts colleges have been doing that for years and centuries even. And so we will continue to do that because it is relevant and it is needed.
David, why did Thomas More start the co-op and intern requirement before graduation? I think you refer to it as experiential learning.
Yes, experiential learning. And what that is we've always done a great job with co-ops and internships and study abroad and service learning and what we call experiential learning at Thomas More. When I go out and talk to potential funders and businesses and even manufacturing businesses, and I ask what are they looking for out of their students, they want students that not only have the academic background, but have experience. And so almost all schools do internships, co-ops, and things like that. But what we're saying at Thomas More, what our faculty presented the proposal and voted on this proposal, which I cannot be more proud of their efforts in that, is what we're saying is before a student graduates with our excellent education, they're going to have something on their resume that says that they had a real world experience. So when people say it's not worth it investing in college and it's not worth a liberal arts education, just the opposite. We're walking out with that liberal arts education, quality degree in their field, but having experience on their resume before they even walk out the door.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Andrew in Avondale. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Yes. As I told I very much appreciate your effort to get down the fixed costs of education. The costs of education are rising substantially faster than the cost of living in general. And, you know, if we want people to have an education to, you know, make their lives, you know, better, either just because of better jobs or because of better judgment, you know, to, like, make that, you know, keep the cost down is a very good thing.
Yes, Andrew, you bring up an excellent point, and I'll say this. Smaller private schools have actually increased their tuition at a much less rate over the years than the larger publics. For example, at Thomas More, we increased our tuition 2.9% this year. That doesn't even take care of the cost of energy increases. But I'll tell you one thing that we've done specifically this year, which is getting a lot of actually local and national recognition, is we've created what we call the Saints Experience within our fee structure. Now, our students will walk in and will not have to purchase books. Now, that's a big deal because that's something that we as an institution cannot control. Book costs for education go up anywhere from 9 to 18% a year, and we have no control over that. What we've done now is working with a company that will rent the books for us. We will provide all books to students, and so they will not have to outlay cash for books, and they have those books every year and every term. And so we are making efforts to look at that. Now, I will say the statistics will show that an investment in a college education is still one of the best investments one can make, even better than gold and stocks and all those things. Just recently in the Chronicle of Higher Education, a statistic that has been steady for the last several years, that a graduate will earn over 80-some percent, usually around 87% more in income than a high school graduate. This year, for the first time, that statistic went over 90%. So the difference now between the high school degree and the college degree is 93%. We've all heard, you know, that you earn $1 million more in your lifetime. And as you even earn higher degrees, that can even be more. And so it is still a quality investment. Yes, we have to look at costs. And I'll tell you, at Thomas More College, we don't have a rock climbing wall and a moat going around our student union. Okay, we just don't have those things. And if that's what you're looking for, we just don't have them. But the smaller liberal arts, faith-based institutions, they've made great pains and great efforts to make sure that students have quality financial aid so that they can afford the education.
Andrew, did you have a comment about online education as well?
Well, I think it's a very good idea. I mean, some of the things you can get for free are very good. I don't know that much about the things you pay for other than the for-profit type school offerings.
Right. What you're talking about, Andrew, is the MOOCs where you can get classes for free.
Right.
Yeah, the massive open online courses. And that right now, people haven't figured out the model yet to understand how that's going to actually make money for the institution and how they're going to do that. But I'll tell you, it's coming down the road. At some point in time, whether it's MOOCs 2.0 or MOOCs 3.0, they're going to figure out how to do this, and people are going to be attracted to it. Right now, there's a high dropout rate for students that join the MOOCs, and usually the students that are joining the MOOCs have high incomes, already have degrees. And so, but what people are looking for are ways to educate the masses at a low cost. And one of the ways that I think in the future that will happen, and it's kind of already happened with the for-profits and the nonprofits that are in online, the pricing structure for those online courses are, it's very competitive. And so those prices are very reasonable.
Andrew, thank you very much for your comments. The campus became tobacco-free, what, about a month ago, a little over a month ago? Why did the college make the decision to do that?
Well, looking at our colleagues, NKU, Gateway, our local colleagues, they made those choices. I know some of the institutions in Ohio did that. You know, I've read that Kentucky is number one in smoking per capita in the population. And for me personally, I get this from my mother. I'm a kind of clean person. I want things cleaned up, and having those cigarette butts everywhere just always bothered me. But if we're going to make a stand as an educational institution in the full wellness of our faculty and staff and our students, it's a decision that we have to make. And so tobacco free, and that doesn't just include smoking. You know, it's tobacco free. And so chew and snuff and all those things that we all know cause cancer. And believe me, I'm a free rights person. I believe that people should have their personal rights. But when it comes to the collective on the college campus, it's the right decision to make for us, looking at the wellness of our whole community.
You have a sense of how the students and faculty are responding to that program?
To be honest, excellent. I mean, the people have been so supportive and so positive, and we have our nurse Tammy. People can contact them if they need help in work in weaning off tobacco. And so there's many opportunities for us to continue making sure that our community has a wellness attitude. To a bunch of faculty members got together with staff, and we created a thing called Swag, where they went out and did walks during the day and ate better, and just did a wonderful job with that. And so my wife got involved with that, the first lady, as we call her. And so we're going to continue to do things to make sure that our community is healthy.
Let's speak with Brian in Cold Spring. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mr. Armstrong, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Very good. Hey, I was excited to know about the marine biology program that you have going on with the Newport Aquarium, and would like to know more about that.
Marine biology.
So glad you brought that up. I couldn't have asked for a better segue. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you for the question, Brian.
We're very proud of our all our academic programs at Thomas More College, but we do have a great strength in our business programs and our sciences. And Professor Chris Lorenz in environmental science, and Siobhan Barone, and all our science faculty are fantastic. And we've had a great success in physics and chemistry and math and our sciences, biology over the years. A lot of students that have gone on and earned internal degrees. And so we had this environmental science program that has gotten great support out at the Biology River Field Station on the Ohio River. And one of the unique programs in the country where undergraduate students are doing graduate level work in the field. Well, it was a natural, and Professor Lorenz was the one that came forward with the idea. And anytime you have faculty come forward with these initiatives, it's fantastic. And he pushed, and we worked through, didn't push it through. People were very welcoming to it through our committee structure and our faculty governance. And we now have a marine biology, which makes us the only program in the state of Kentucky to have that, number one. And then number two, Eric Rose and the Newport Aquarium has been working with Chris Lorenz for years and years and years on educating students, and we provided classes to them with their internship program. It was a natural for us to get together and form a partnership as part of this marine biology program. And as far as we know, we are the only college or university in the country that has a partnership with a privately owned public aquarium. And so we not only have the freshwater down at the river, we have the saltwater at the aquarium, and we're even looking into a relationship with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which we have a relationship with them with our new athletic training program, but also working with them in our marine biology program. So we are so excited about that marine biology program, because now students will not have to travel 10, 15, 16, 20 hours away to go and get that program, they can get it right here in Northern Kentucky.
And talk about the athletic training program you just mentioned. That's something new, isn't it?
Yes, it's another new program that was on the shelf for several years, and our faculty were able to develop that program through the faculty governance. We hired Brian Edwards to run the program. He was formerly at Urbana University. And that is a unique program in that it's athletic training and it's a five-year program so that you walk out of Thomas More College with not only your bachelor's but your master's degree. And that's something that we're looking at as an institution is how many of our other programs in business with our MBA, education with our master's in education, how many other programs can we say to a student, again, going back to Andrew's question about cost, is walk out of our institution with not only a bachelor's but a master's. And so, and that also has the internship with the University of Alaska Fairbanks where a student, we're Division III, and so they'd have that experience of getting their practicum hours on our campus. But then they can go to University of Alaska Fairbanks and have scholarship sports with hockey and other sports that we don't have here. So we're very excited about that program.
Also on the athletic side, you now have women's lacrosse, and I love this. You have a marching band now.
Yes. When you look at how to grow enrollment, you do it by programs, academic, co-curricular, and extracurricular. So you see that we started the two new academic programs. That's where it all starts. And then co-curricular, we started the marching band to boost up our music program. And this, right here in Northern Kentucky, we're in the hotbed of marching bands. You know, Southern Ohio, yes. Southern Indiana, state of Kentucky. So it's a natural. And Randy Webb is our band director, and we're very excited about what that's going to do. We believe right now, without the marching band, we had the best Division III game day experience in the country. Terry Connor, Jim Hilvert, we just have a great, if you ever want to stop by, it's a great location, great time, great way to see a game. But it was missing one thing. And that was the big bass drums and the tubas. And so now we're going to have that marching band, and it will clearly be the best game day experience in the country, Division III. And we're very excited about that program and bring students who otherwise would not have attended Thomas More to come. And we started women's lacrosse. That's an emerging sport in NCAA, and our conference is merging with the Heartland Conference to provide a championship opportunity for women's lacrosse this year. And we're seeing movement in that program, too.
David, in your list of accomplishments, you say you've motivated faculty and staff toward a culture of improvement and urgency. Now, the improvement part, I can understand. Where does the urgency part fit in?
Well, you know, it's what I call you have to have a sense of urgency in everything that you do. And that doesn't always make people comfortable. Coach Rusatz at Covington Catholic this year, when he started out his championship season at Covington Catholic, had a quote that I've been kind of using all year, is that if you want to achieve, you want to be great, if you want to achieve greatness, you have to become comfortable being uncomfortable. As human beings, we are all comfortable being comfortable, and we don't really want anyone to set us off on a different path. But that's not going to get us to where we need to go. And so being comfortable, being uncomfortable, having a sense of urgency on how to approach things is very important. Now, we don't want to lose who we are in that process, and that's always the delicate balance. And I'll fully admit that I've probably violated that balance at times this year, and I apologize for that. But it's all to make sure that Thomas More College maintains its identity, its mission, its focus, and that we are thriving for the next 100 years.
What are your plans for the next year?
We are right in the midst of our strategic planning process, so that's so important, and that will drive what we're doing with our budget to make sure that we have balanced budgets, but creating that strategic plan that will guide us for the next 3 to 5 years. We will look at a couple new academic programs, and what we hope is the initiatives that we've started, that we will grow our enrollment, grow our adult enrollment, and which will give us some breathing room to then look at other things that fit within our strategic plan to move forward on. And so one academic program that's been talked about for a while at Thomas More is a bachelor in law, so to prepare students and have a direct connection with law schools upon graduation. Okay, so a pre-law study program, legal studies program, that's one area that we would be looking at. And so we're going to always look for new opportunities, but this year is about that strategic plan and making sure that we're doing the right things for the future.
Thank you, David. David Armstrong, president of Thomas More College. And after the break, the latest on UpTech, the Northern Kentucky Business Accelerator, recently named 18 semifinalists for UpTech 3. And in Focus on Technology, a unique therapy that involves recording the dying heartbeat of children for their families. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.